We are happy you tuned in to us this Sunday afternoon for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Good afternoon, friends and loved ones out there in radio land. We're happy again to be coming into your homes or by there in the computers or however you're receiving us. We're just pleased today to know that God is still on the throne and he's answering prayers. We thank him for his love and his mercy and the way that he brought everything in perspective. And we know that the world today is out trying to destroy his name and his word, but I got news for you. It's going to be around after you and I are gone. But we know that God is almighty. We know that all power was given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. And we realize that there's a lot of people trying to make him second, a third, or make him nothing at all. But the Bible says he is God manifested in the flesh. So we're just happy to know that the scripture can't be changed. And I didn't write the book, but I love to carry the mail. So I'm just pleased today to know that God is still answering my prayers, and he's still doing that which he wants to do. And if you will turn your life over to him, he'll bring salvation into your soul. And I just thank God today to know that he's heard some prayers and he's answered some, and he will answer the rest of them in his time and in his own way. But as we go before the Lord at this time with prayer, I want you to pray with us. And may God richly bless you and help you to understand that the Word of God is truth, and there's no other truth except that which he said. When Pilate asked him what was truth, he said he was truth. So my friend today, realize that if you read the scriptures for what they say and take them for what they say, instead of trying to make it sound like something other that you like to sugarcoat it, then you'll be on the right track. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for your mercy and your blessings and the provisions that you have provided for us, that we can bring this message, that God being the all in all in us, throughout us, and all in all. We just pray, God, that you would help those and bless them that have helped us with the finances of this broadcast. We pray that the word will go forth and touch lives, and we appreciate all of them that have tuned in to us in various different ways. We ask that you would bless them and have an ear to hear and a heart to receive. It's not about me, but it's all about you. And it is my heart's desire to lift up your precious name and to bring you into their lives, that they too can receive the same thing that I can receive from you, the blessing of salvation and the promise of eternal life through Christ Jesus. We just praise you and we thank you for thy blessings. Looking unto thee to be the author and the finisher of our faith, we give you praise and honor in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I think my wife's got something other ready for us over there, and we're going to let her have it for whatever she's got. So the Lord bless you and keep you. Here's Sister Sarah.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be on this station again and bring what the Lord's laid on my heart. We're living in a world of chaotic, ungodly things, but we just need to pray one for another. We know we get upset about all these things, but we know that they have to happen. If you read your Bible, it says that these things are going to come about. We can't do anything about it. And on my wall, I have every morning I look at it and try to remember it during the day, but it says, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can change. Change the things that I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I know that there's a lot of things going on that we cannot do anything about. All we can do is pray for those people, and you know what I'm talking about. I won't go into it, but you know the stand that we take, and I'm so glad that there's a lot of people that are taking that stand also. I can't believe that anybody that's living in a ungodly lifestyle can truly be filled with God's Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, and think that they've got it all made, because it's abomination, and anything that's abomination to God is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you can believe it or you don't believe it. But I have a little article here that I like to share with people. And it's called, "Do the Sleeping Saints Wake Up?" In his wonderful letter to the Ephesian church, the Apostle Paul included a shattering statement which is astonishingly appropriate today. "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." That's in Ephesians 5 and 14. We usually think of this church as outstanding spiritual, particularly in the light of our Lord's commendation in Revelations 2:2-3. Yet Paul's words indicate that even in his day, 30 years earlier, it had already begun to leave its first love. So he seeks to arouse them with a disturbing diagnosis, a drastic demand, and the promise of a dazzling development. We are living in a world today where we have lost our first love. I can remember when I first really, really gave my heart to the Lord, I was so excited that I wanted to spend every minute I could in church talking to everybody that I came in contact with to tell them about Jesus. But as you get into your Christian walk, it seems like you get colder and colder and colder. And I'm talking about me, as well as anybody that's listening, and the Lord pricks your heart and says, "Hey, that's me too." But we need to get on fire for God. We need to start living, practicing what we preach. Everywhere we go, somebody's watching to see what you're going to say and what you're going to do. The disturbing diagnosis. Like many in the church today, the Ephesians were spiritually asleep, unaware of the seriousness of lying. In Ephesians 4:25, uncontrolled anger in Ephesians 4:26, yielding to the devil's devices in Ephesians 4:27, stealing 4:28, foul language in 4:29, bitterness, wrath, and anger in 4:31, immorality and covetousness, filthiness, obscenity. And that's in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Foolish talk or coarse joking, fellowship with the world, and consequently, the inability to discern God's will for their lives in Ephesians 5:17. But there's a remedy for all of this, and sleeping Christians are challenged to take it without delay. Awake and arise from the dead. A sleeping man and a dead man are alike oblivious to their surroundings, but the sleeper can be aroused and, once awakened, make deliberate return to alertness. How many Christians need to do this spiritually by waking to their true condition and deliberately dropping any habit they have, any relationship that's ungodly that they may be into, and any fleshly indulgence which keeps them in a spirit of spiritual death? Jacob urged this upon his household in Genesis 35:2. "Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean. Change your garments." Having therefore these promises, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God," in 2 Corinthians 7:1. "In a dazzling development, and Christ shall give thee light, light in the darkness of the lost world, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ," in 2 Corinthians 4:6. Paul had already prayed for these Ephesians that they might have the eyes of their understanding enlightened. Ephesians 1:18, here he assures them of the certain answer to his prayer if they will walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light. "We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." 1 John 1:7. "Let us rejoice that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15:4. And now all these things happen unto them for a sample, and they were written for the admonition upon which the whole world, the ends of the world, are coming. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And 1 Corinthians 10:15-55 tells us, in the corruptible shall put on incorruption. We need to put away anything that's unpleasing to God and put away the filthiness of the flesh. Put away our habits of backbiting and gossiping and everything that's unpleasing to God. Let us let witness to the Lord and lift Him up everywhere we go. Let people know that He dwells within us and we belong to Him and He belongs to us. And I just praise God this afternoon. I pray that you'll enjoy the song that we'll play in just a few minutes. But the antibiotic for sin is Jesus Christ, and Him only can heal you from your sins. He is the one. He gave His blood at Calvary that you and I could have eternal life. And I love Him this afternoon. And I pray for each and every one out there that if you don't know this Jesus that we preach about and we stand up for, that you'll take Him into your heart. Let Him come into your heart today and cleanse you from all the things that are unpleasing to Him, all these bad habits that you may have that think that's not right. The Bible says over in Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So check up and see if you're doing something that you have questions. Is it right? Is it wrong? 99% of the time, it's wrong. Praise the Lord.
As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartbreak a sinner must face. But God, goodness has led me return to share with His children this lesson I learned.
Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave
far more than you want to pay.
cost you far more than you want to pay.
Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay.
AM 1110, WTIS Tampa. Inspiring radio for over 35 years. WTIS, Tampa's inspiration station.
Praise the Lord. Again, we glad we're coming in to you by the way of radio, and we just appreciate those that have tuned in to us. But as we go to the Word of God now, there's been a whole lot of things that's been said that scripturally doesn't back up. Now, we're living in a time that we're in that is close to the return of our Lord, and people are trying to go ahead and do things which they think is right. But now, as my wife said a few minutes ago, if there's any question about it, check with the Word of God. Check it out with the Scriptures and see where you stand comparison to the Scriptures. But in the book of Acts, we find that Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost when the church was set in order as we know it today. And he said, therefore, in Acts 2 and 36, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assured, that God has made this same Jesus, of whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For this is a sign you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is a promise is unto you and to your children and all that is afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. My friend, today we got so much false teaching going on around in the Scriptures that it's necessary for people to realize you need to see what the Scripture has to say and not be carried away with this kind of stuff that is different from what the apostles set the church in order. We're living in some crucial times in this day that we live in. And if we'll look into the book of Jude over here, and we'll find that Jude was referring to the faith that we first once received. Jude was an apostle there, and he a brother of James, and he was a half-brother to Jesus, if you really want to know the truth about it. But nevertheless, he thought it was necessary for him to write to us and to let us know that he would desire us to be content, in other words, with the faith that once was delivered unto us. There's been a lot of churches that's come along and said this and said that and one thing or another, and they preach what this says and that says, but then they'll go and change things around to make it suit themselves. My friend, I'm not here today to criticize no one or make no judgment, but the Bible is the Word of God, and there's no place and evidence in the Word since the book of Acts wherein the church was set in order that any of the apostles ever baptized anybody with the outside of Jesus' name. Now, I know that Jesus said there in Matthew 28:19, he declared that there was a name. Peter on the day of Pentecost declared the name. John the Baptist, he didn't baptize with no name. He just baptized them into repentance. But my friend, the faith of that Jude wanted us to be content with, that which was once delivered unto us. There's been such a falling away in the times and then so many different doctrines that's come along and different churches, and a lot of it's before they didn't agree with the preacher that what he was preaching, even though he was preaching the truth and to start with probably. And they formed their own little organizations, and they go from there on into whatever. But my friend, today there's only one church that God's concerned with, and that's the church of the firstborn of the church of God, them that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, them that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He's coming for back to receive a bride who has made herself ready. My friend, if you are not ready today, you need to get ready, because tomorrow may be too late. For we, or you, or I, either one, have got the no promise of tomorrow. You may lay down on your bed tonight feeling great, but never see another sunrise. And the same it goes for me. But my friend, I want you to know today that Jesus said that he came that he could give life and give it more abundantly. Didn't mean that everybody was going to have a steak on the table and a Cadillac in the garage. Didn't even say anything about him having a garage. You may have been living in a tent, or you may be living under the trees. But nevertheless, if you got Jesus in your life, he said he was going to prepare a place for us, and he would come again to receive us unto himself. That where he is, there he that we can be there also. But my friend, when Jude was writing to the church, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, and to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligently to write unto you for the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you would contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men that have crept in unaware, and the old audience to them, and condemning ungodly men, trusting in the grace of our Lord, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, there's been a lot of things that's come down the road in my day. I've been living here in this world for almost 80 years, and I've seen a lot of changes. I've seen the fulfillment of the scriptures being brought down. My friend, we're living in the days of the nearing of the coming of our Lord and Savior. If we would only realize and start thinking about what is the truth of the matter. Read your word and see how you feel about it. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is all in faith, my friend. You can't reach out there and touch him as you can a tree or an automobile or whatever it is. We walk by faith and not by sight. We got to have faith in that precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary, that he paid yours and my sin debt. There's no way that you and I could have paid for our sins, but he paid for it. He took on him all of our sins, which I contributed much to, as well as you. And he put them on him. He took them on him and nailed them to the cross. Therefore, through his blood, we can have salvation or forgiveness of our sins. No matter what you've done, there's some things that people do that because of things have went wrong with them. They think that the enemy goes to talking to them, and they listen. And just like Eve did when the serpent began to talk to her about the trees that was in the garden, he said, did not God say you could eat of all the trees except that one in the midst? And she said, yes. And he said, well, he said, you'd surely die. But he said, you surely won't die. But you're no good from evil. And my friend, it's been that way ever since. If you don't know good from evil, if you can't tell right from wrong, then both of your hands is left. Because anybody with any right mind could tell whether it's right or wrong. It's not right for you to go steal. It's not right for you to kill. But yet we have these things. It's not right for you to go committing adultery, but yet we have it. And we go there with all this sinful stuff that's going on in the world today, with this lust of the flesh and the pride of life, looking unto other things other than to God. You've got these people that are got these lives lifestyles that they live to and think that they're all right. And some people go into them and said, oh, they got the Holy Ghost. It's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. God, His Spirit's not going to dwell in something other that He has already condemned and said it was an abomination. As it was when Lot's time, when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, the destruction there came because of their lifestyle. My friend, today we got the need to preach this gospel. Stand upon the word of God. Bring forth and deliver it. That where my wife was saying a while ago, let our light so shine that others would see Christ in us. Don't try to bring yourself up and put yourself on a pedestal. I don't care what church you may be pastor of. Don't try to put yourself up above God because you can't. Put yourself as a meek and a lonely servant of God. Let Him use you as He sees fit instead of you trying to turn this gospel into something that tickle their ears and soothe the old fleshly appetite. My friend, today we need to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto us. The church was set in order on the day of Pentecost. That was after Jesus had arose, and He was seen by many of them at that time, but one time of 500 at one time. And I want you to think about it. They knew He was alive, and He's still alive and alive forevermore. He ascended back into the heavens from which He came, and He left gifts with men. So you seek after the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and it will let you know what's right and what's wrong. It'll let you know whether that spirit that says, I'm of God, whether it really is of God or not. There's a lot of things going on around the world. There's a lot of tongue talking going on you don't understand and all this here kind of stuff and people praying and saying this and saying that. But my friend, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not, God's not in it. It's the old fleshly desire to be something that they are not. But I want you to think about it. When He told them that he wanted us to contend. In other words, be stable into the message that was first given unto us, the faith which was preached unto us. When Peter, having the keys to the kingdom of heaven, opened the door of salvation that day, when the men of all the nations around and about him heard the people speaking in their own language, magnifying God, they was pricked in their hearts. The preacher today preaches what he wants them to hear, and he'll write it out on a sermon, something or other there, as to what his knowledge is, instead of letting the Holy Ghost preach through him like Peter did. We're not having too many being pricked in the hearts. There's not too many people going into the altar to seek God for salvation. There's not too many people being healed today simply because man's got into it. He wants to rule and reign instead of letting God's will be done. He wants to accept the praise and the honor, and God said He would give no praise and honor to no man. So why do we want to follow after the ways of man's teachings that has crept into many of the? He said, led away silly women laden with sin. He's meaning the church. There's only one church that God's concerned about, and that's the firstborn, born again of the Spirit of God, that accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. These denominations come around and they've divided this and divided that until they so many divided themselves until they don't know what's going on. Friend, it's just like this nation today, divided between the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't know which one of them's the worst. My God, I'd vote for Jesus. What we all need to do is when we get to the ballot box to mark off them and put Jesus down. Bring Jesus back on the scene. He's the ruler. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We haven't had a decent man in the White House in so long. I don't remember when it was. But I want you to know that it's not the man that's in the White House. It's Jesus Christ, the God sent unto us his only begotten son, that he died for yours and my sins. They've got us so mixed up there, and all they're after is a big praise and a big honor to themselves. One will lie about the other one, the other will turn around and see if he can tell a bigger lie about the other one. You don't know who to believe. Vote for Jesus. He'll make everything right. My friend today, with the Obama administration and this one trying to come in, it's trying to get his little 2 cents in. It's all been come down the road. But nobody is paying any attention to what God wants. Even to a lot of the church world, they claim that they're this and they're that. They claim they'd be born again. Some of them said if you don't belong to this certain organization, you ain't going to go to heaven anyway. That's another lie out of hell. If you don't belong to Jesus and haven't been repented of your sins and been baptized in his name and received of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the hope within Christ in us, the hope of glory, my friend, I'm afraid you're standing on shaky ground. The foundation that was laid, as Paul said, as no other can be laid. And Peter declared that Jesus Christ was brought forth, and God had made him the head of the church, made him the chief cornerstone. And when the men heard about it, they said, men and brethren, when they was pricked in their heart, what can we do? Then he told them, repent. He didn't say, raise your hand and say after me. He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's no scripture that you can find to worry in that any use the titles. Jesus said, go forth and teach and preaching whatsoever that I have told you and taught you, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He specifically said that there was a name. Mary was told by the angel of God that she would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he would save his people from their sins. But the Judaizers and all, they denied him, and a lot of the other people have denied him. But my friend, one day, out of here not too far away, that I believe that they're going to look up, and they're going to see in the clouds of glory that same Jesus that went up. He's going to come again to receive his church. And when he receives his church, and these people are going around and preaching that after the church is gone, that there's going to be millions and millions that are going to serve God and everything, don't believe it, because once the Spirit of God has been lifted off and is no longer here, what's going to draw you to God? Without the Spirit drawing you to the Father, you can't come. Jesus plainly said that. If the church is lifted off, it's going to be hell here on earth, my friend. It's some of the people here that's seeing all the hell they'll ever see, but it's some people here that's seen all the heaven they're going to ever see. But there's no abomination thing. None of so sin whatsoever. Adultery, drunkenness, and all these things that commit sin different from what God's laid out and planned in his word. You do anything to destroy this temple which you are supposedly to be. And if you're at a temple there which in God wants to dwell in, if you destroy that temple, he said he would destroy the soul in hell. My friend, today it's time we woke up. My wife spoke about waking up a while ago. It's time we woke up to reality. It's time that the church began to get on fire for God. It's time that you come out of your lukewarm condition and got on fire for God. When the first church that John wrote to in the book of Revelations, he spoke to them there. But he said that because he had something against them, because they had left their first love. He didn't lose it, they left it. If you lose something, you don't know where it's at. You don't know what happened to it. But if you turn around and leave something, chances are you can come back to it. My friend, but he said you left your first love. He continued to say that he needed to repent. A lot of people have left the first love. They went after things of the world. They've looked after big monuments and all. Some of these preachers that come along and preaching, building big cathedrals. They got a house house full. They want to build something bigger. But they're preaching to the itching of the ears with a smooth tongue, and they're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it comes right down to it, my friend, we got to listen to what the Word of God said. Each one of those churches that John wrote to, in the final part of it, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto thee." It's time that we begin to realize that the Spirit of God is moving in a way that we can't tell, simply because we've fell out of love with Him. We've left the first love. I hear Him saying all the time, we need a move of the Holy Ghost. We need revival. But you talk to some of the pastors of the church about revival, we give you 30 minutes and that's about all they can stand. That's because that they haven't been born again. They got the mind on going home and rushing out to watch the TV, watch the football and these things. My friend, it's time we take note of ourselves. See where you stand as far as being right or wrong. See if you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. See if God is in you, the hope of glory, or if the world has engulfed you in such a way that you haven't come out from amongst it, but you're still a part of it. The Bible teaches that to come out from among the world and be you therefore separated, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. But there's too much of the world in the church today. Too much of the glit and the glamour. Too much of the world has come into the church, and that's what it speaks about, that we've come in, that the world, these unorthodox things that the people have allowed to come into the churches today, and they brought all of the world with them. My friend, that's what's the matter today. That's what happened to Israel back in her day. There Solomon brought all of those women from all around the places into there, married them, had all them women there. I don't know what in the world he meant by it, but anyway, he had them. But they brought their strange gods in, led Israel down the path of destruction, and they're on their way to hell right today because they won't believe in the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that baptized into one body. There's only one head in the kingdom of God, and Jesus Christ is the head. He sits on the throne, and when he comes forth and to make judgment of this world in that second coming, don't get me wrong, some people think the second coming is when he's going to receive the church, but that's when the rapture takes place. He'll receive his bride unto himself. But when he comes back the second time to put his foot upon Mount Olive and it cleaves away, he's coming to do battle, because he come in Jerusalem low and meekly on the ass of a fold, and they cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Then a few days later they cried out, "Crucify him." But when he comes back again, he's going to come on a white charging horse, and he's come to do battle, and his saints do follow after him. And he puts his foot upon Mount Olive, and it cleaves away and splits open, and he's going to bring them into that battle there, the once and for all, and he's going to do away with all sin and corruption, all immorality, and all that is an abomination in his sight, that he has declared to be an abomination. He's going to cast him along with the devil and all the other false prophets, and her daughters along with her, there into hell alive, according to the scriptures. I want you to think about it, my friend. Where will you spend eternity should you be called today to come before God? Would you stand there naked if you haven't got the blood of Jesus applied to you, and naked as far as God's concerned? Your sins are still upon you. The only thing that can cleanse you from your unrighteousness and your sins is that precious blood of Jesus. It's the only thing that will bring you to the place to where that he'll give you a white robe to wear. Many upon the altar are crying out, "Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you bring revengeance upon the world?" He was given a white robe and told him to wait just a little longer until some of the others had come their way, was persecuted, killed, and denied to live in this present world. My friend, it's coming, whether you like it or not. The only thing that's preserving it right now is the salt of the earth, in which the true believers are crying out, Lord, just a little longer. Let us have another day, a little while longer, to win another soul, our friend, our loved ones, our neighbor, someone, Lord, that we might could bring in before it's too late. But my friend, when he steps out and says it's enough, and when that time comes, there's no more delay. All things will be according to the word of God, will be done and over with, and he's going to sit upon the throne of his righteousness, and he's going to judge the world, and them that had known not him, and them that resisted him, and therefore that have not come to him and repented, he's going to cast alive in the lake of fire. Death and hell will even be called up on that day. Where will you stand? Will you wake up to the reality of the scriptures and read that we are lost because we haven't found the truth in God? That's our only hope of salvation, is Jesus Christ. He come and died for us. You can hunt and search with all these other avenues of whatever you want to go by and try to find salvation, but you can't find it nowhere except in Jesus Christ. He come and died for your miserable life like he did mine. He come to die for our sins, to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. He came to save the people from their sins, but they wouldn't listen. As it was in the days of Noah, there was eating and drinking, marriage and giving in marriage, all kinds of things going on, and they wasn't aware to anything until Noah had preached to them 120 years that there was going to come a flood. It never rained before. We had never seen Jesus coming into clouds together there of glory yet, but we're going to see it one day. But when I want you to know, my friend, when Noah was told to go into the ark and the door was shut and the rain began to fall, there was a prayer meeting, no doubt in my mind. It was going on in every hilltop and every high place that they're calling upon Noah to open the door and let him in. But Noah didn't shut the door, and neither could he open it. When the church has gone out, there is no more room for repentance. They all perished in the flood. And I want you to know that they'll perish when the church is raptured out and God has lifted his spirit upon this world and there. And he's going to bring it to pass that all that missed the boat, honey, is going to perish along with the devil and all of his angels. You can take that to the bank if you want to. According to the word of God, this matter of them coming and preaching over the TV and one thing or another, that them left behind, writing their books and selling them for people to read and giving you the second chance when Jesus comes and takes his church from the earth and he brings it into his kingdom, you ain't gonna have no second chance. When he sits upon the throne of his glory and says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I don't care, you can get the highest paid lawyer in the world, and he's not going to be able to stand up and say, hey, we want another trial. This is a mistrial. No, it's going to be tried and over with. And he said, depart from me. It's going to be depart, and that's the end of it. Plain and simple. And it's about time we woke up to the reality. Got your heart right with God. If you look about the things and read in the scriptures about when the Lord gave him the signs that of his near return, we'll find in Matthew said there would be roars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in divers places, famines, and all these things going on. And even to, we look at Syria and all these other nations. They went up against nations, kingdom against kingdom. My friend, today we're living in those times. We're living right now in the days of the end. We're looking at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was eat up with this lifestyle that so many people are embracing, even in our Congress where they're doing it and everything. It's a stink in God's nostrils, and it's abomination in His sight. And He said there was nothing that committeth abomination is going to enter into His kingdom. So you're lost, plain and simple. If you don't do what the Bible says to go, it says to repent, and you teaching another Jesus, you trying to bring three people up there to be in the Godhead, it's wrong. You need to repent. You need to see what the Scripture has to say about it. This, the old harlot doctrine came in from the Catholic Church years ago. Rome was full of and eat up with this here homosexual lifestyle. They always had all kinds of diseases in one thing or another, but yet and still, and they're a lot of their churches are going along, and they've got this in their churches, and the old head man is trying to uphold them in it most of the time. My friend, and we've even got some of in the denominations around about, that wherein they doing the same thing. It's a stink in the nostrils of God that men with men and women with women going around molesting our little boys and our little girls. It's a stink in the nostrils of God, and God's going to put a stop to it. And all of them that take a part in it or have any dealings with it, that go along with it, in other words, is going to die and go to hell with the rest of them, as according to the Scripture. He said they were worthy of death, and them that have pleasure with them. My friend, today it's time we realize and woke up. You don't look to the government, because they ain't going to do nothing for you but take over what you got away from you. You look to Jesus. He's the only one that can give you any hope. He's the only one that died for you. Romney and Obama didn't die for you. I don't know how much it is people that can be hoodwinked by a man that has promised them all this stuff and hadn't done anything. And these that promise you all of that, they wind up doing whatever they decide to do in the opposite most of the time. But they've got us in such a debt today and adding more to it that it's impossible. And the first thing you know, my friend, when this old one man steps out and said, I got the answer. One world system. They've been fighting for that for a long time, and it's right on the verge of stepping out. What you gonna do then? You better have your heart right with the Lord, because that old man's going to come forth, and oh, he'll come with some peace and safety for a period of time. But then if you don't take the number of his name, oh, my friend, you're going to be in deep trouble. You're going to wind up not being able to buy and sell. If you got anything to sell, you can't sell it unless you take the number. You take that number and you're doomed for hell. Because that's a mark of the Antichrist. And he's already visible. If you just look around and see. And you know, if you read the Scriptures, it's right at hand. Wake up. Realize our only hope is in Christ Jesus. Like I said a few moments ago, the only hell that some people are going to see is here on earth. The only heaven that some of these people are going to see is here on earth. But there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. My friend, that place that Jesus said he was going to prepare, he's going to come again to receive them that have made themselves ready, them that have repented and have the blood of Jesus applied. Them that had their names not blotted out of the book of life. My friend, I believe that in the time that come, God knew who would and who wouldn't. And he said that they would blot out their names off the book of life. And to blot something other out, it's once got to be there. So I'm beginning to believe that we was there. God knew when the day we come into this world, he knows the day when we go out. If he knows the number of our head, he knows how many days we gonna live, and he knows the day that death will slip over our body. My friend, it's time we woke up to realization. Read the Scriptures. Find out Find out for yourself. Don't listen to somebody over there that calls himself Father so-and-so or priest such-and-such. He'll read it and he'll interpret it for you, tell you what it says. You listen to the wrong thing, my friend. Listen to the Word of God. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you to read your Bible and be content with the faith that was once delivered unto us there by the apostles of Jesus Christ when he taught them out there the things at which he wanted the world to know, and Paul being brought forth there under the leader of Gamaliel, and which they denied this man called Jesus, and Paul didn't want to have nothing to do with it till he met up with him on the road to Damascus. Are you on the road to Damascus today, denying the only Lord God of glory? Denying that Jesus is God? If you're on that road and doing that, you're on the road to Damascus. You need to repent. But really and truly, you're on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, because that Jericho was considered a sinful nation or built a town, and it was destroyed, and sin ramped and raved there. Honey, there was one man going down the road to Jericho and fell among thieves. Have you fell among thieves? Our government is robbing us of everything we can earn, taking on them all of our wealth, building themselves something or another. And this old thing about being left behind, honey, and it's going to be a way preserved for them that is left behind, and even though they be killed for a testimony. My friend, if you don't make it on the first load, there's going to be no second one. Heard a man saying one time it'd take God seven times to get the church off of the earth. Well, that man's a lie and the truth ain't in him. God's going to come back after his church, and he's going to receive his church in the air. Them that which are dead is going to rise first, and them that are alive is going to meet him in the air. They're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. My friend, it's about high time you read the scriptures for yourself and quit listening to somebody else over there tell you what it's about. Read it for yourself. Let me encourage you to read your scriptures for yourself. Find out firsthand what the Bible says. Don't believe me. Believe what the Word says. If Paul said, if I follow Christ, follow me. But if I don't follow Christ, you follow Christ. If the Word isn't what it says it is, then we're all lost. I wouldn't tell you nothing of the wrong, not intentionally anyway. My friend, today, I don't believe that God give man the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, to bring a false message. Them that claims to be and teaching another Jesus is wrong. He's an antichrist, because there's only one Christ, and that Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords and Lord and King over all things. God had put him in that place. He put a face on, Jesus came and put a face on God. If you read the first chapter of Matthew, and he'll tell you there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was spoken in Mary's womb and produced a man-child, and his name was called Jesus. Plain and simple. No other name whereby that we can be saved by but at the name of Jesus. I just appreciate God today. I love him. I love him. He loved me before I ever knew him. He loved me when I was unlovable. He died for me, that I could have a better life. Hadn't been all that pleasant in this one, but the one that's coming after this is the one I'm looking forward to. I've suffered some things like some other people have, but there's one thing for sure and for certain. If we're born again, we reap the inheritance with the kingdom of God, everything will be all right. May God richly bless you, my friend. Hope we said something that will encourage you. Read your Word, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. Till next week, may God bless you.
We would like to invite you to come to our church, Christian Growth Fellowship, where Pastor Pennington brings the Word of God every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. The church is located at 149 April Lane in Tampa, Florida, 33613. If you don't have a church home, come join the family at ours. If Take Time for Jesus has been a blessing to you, email taketimeforjesus@wtis1110.com or write Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. God bless. That's all my heart to fear, and grace my fear.